The one resource wet zone plants don't need to fight for is water. In fact, there can be so much rain in the rainforest that some species have to have special ways of getting rid of it. This is the taro plant, and it has the most extraordinary leaves. Watch what happens when I pour water on them. The water rolls, leaving the leaf behind almost dry. And that's because the leaf is covered with very, very tiny microscopic structures which hold aloft the droplets of water. And as a consequence, only about 2% of water touches the actual leaf surface itself. And as the droplets roll away, they carry with them the dirt and bacteria. So in effect, these leaves are self-cleaning. A 3D microscope magnifies them up to 200 times and reveals how extraordinarily complex the surface of a seed can be. No two species are the same. These images have been given artificial colours, but many of their shapes are beyond explanation. Some structures, however, have a clear function. They help the seed to achieve one of its main purposes, to travel. Many seeds rely on animal couriers. The American stick seed attaches itself to the fur or skin of passing animals with hooks and barbed spikes. The amazing sticking structures of such hitchhikers inspired the invention of Velcro. Some seeds carry a little packet of nutritious fat, which persuades an ant to take it back to its underground nest, where the seed, having surrendered its fatty reward to the ants, can germinate in safety. The seeds of orchids are minuscule and produced in their millions. They blow away like dust. In contrast, this much bigger seed has a large flat membrane which serves as a wing so that it can float great distances on the wind. Other wind-dispersed seeds, like the yellow paintbrush, have a honeycomb texture. Such complex sculpturing enables seeds to catch the slightest wind current and ride thermals, travelling long distances from their mother plants. In their most extreme form, the relationship for the plant is an exclusive one. Only one species of insect will have the right equipment to claim the plant's nectar. This relationship between a particular kind of insect and a particular kind of plant produces some extraordinary results. This, for example, is an orchid called Catasetum. Unusually for orchids, some plants are male and others are female. This is a male. It produces a kind of scent that attracts just one species of small, glossy, beautifully coloured bee. The bee lands on the lip of the orchid and thrusts its head into the orchid's flower itself. And that touches a trigger and sticks onto the bee's back this extraordinary thing, which is in fact a bundle of pollen grains called pollinia. This has a little cap on it, which after a minute or so falls off and reveals there that little horseshoe-shaped bundle of pollen grains. So plants and insects evolve together, driving their mutual diversity. Rainforests are the culmination of this process,
containing a greater variety of species than any other habitat. And here you can see that some plants didn't restrict themselves to insects.
This, for example, is known as the jade vine. But why is it this extraordinarily mesmerizing blue-green color? Well, we know that it's fertilized by bats. That's why the flowers hang out in the open so the bats can get at them quite easily. And so maybe this color stands out particularly boldly as far as bats are concerned in the moonlight. When the bat arrives, it sticks its head into the flower to get at the honey. And as it does so and presses there, out from this hook come the stamens and dab pollen on its back. So when the bat goes away, it takes the pollen to another flower. This is a eucalyptus, famous for the oil in its leaves. It produces that oil in such quantity that under certain conditions it can form a blue haze above the tree. In fact, the Blue Mountains of New South Wales and Australia get their name from the haze that hangs over the eucalyptus forest sometimes. When the leaves fall to the ground and rot, the oil leaches out into the soil. And there, reinforced by more oil secreted by the roots, it acts as an inhibitor that prevents other seeds of other plants from growing around its base, so reducing competition for the eucalyptus.
Another species use oils in a different way, and a more dramatic one.
If the temperature raises to 32 degrees centigrade, those substances in the leaves of this citrus plant from the Mediterranean can spontaneously burst into flame.
The flames reduce the cistus to a cinder, and the plant itself will never recover. But this is not a disastrous accident. The cistus has evolved to burn. Such extraordinary sacrifice ensures a different kind of survival, survival of its offspring. The flames will also destroy all other plants from the surrounding area. And this gives the cistus a chance to extend its territory. From the ashes, a new generation of cistus quickly rises. Cistus seeds escape damage because they're enclosed in flame-resistant capsules. Furthermore, the smoke stimulates their germination.